I want to welcome each and every one right here. I hope that God has blessed you the past week, and we certainly don't realize how many times God is touching us each and every day. And we should be grateful. We should have a grateful heart, not only when the Thanksgiving season comes around, but each and every day. I do pray that each one of us are going to get God's blessings as we listen to the message. And God has blessings for us each and every minute. We only need to be ready to receive what God has for us. during the past couple of presentations, we have explored some reasons why we as God's people, should be interested and should be willing to learn, to listen, and to obey God's call to be holy, healthy, and happy by respecting His law. Just going quick through the things that we already discussed. First reason why we have a duty and obligation to respect God's laws of health is because God's loves us. He is love and He wants the best for us. The second reason is because we love God and we profess that we love God, and the love is manifested by obedience to God's laws. The third reason is because God is our maker, creator, designer. He knows what is best for us. That's why He gave us the laws He gave us. And finally, the fourth reason we are talking about is that we, as God's people, we always want to grow, to learn, to know what God wants us for us. We should not be ignorant when it comes to what God's will for us is. We talk about these reasons previously in more details. So now it's about time to move forward and talk about health. But before we start our discussion, I would like to do our profession. Remember, I would like to invite you to take your Bible and stand up and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I believe it to be the word of the living God. And I covenant with Him that I will study every day. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are coming before your throne of grace, Lord, with open hearts to listen to you, to receive the messages you have prepared for us. Lord, we know that we want to be your children. We are your children. And help us, Lord, to not only profess it in the way we talk, but to show it in our lives. Bless each one of the people who are present here. And Lord, help this message to be a blessing for each one of us. I want to request, Lord, to use me as a tool for you to tell about your goodness and your love. And Lord, I want this message to really reach our hearts and to bring a change in our lives, a change that will bring us closer to you. Hide me behind your cross. Speak through me and help me to be the messenger you want me to be and have the message that we need today. Bless each one of us as we listen, and be with us for the rest of the Sabbath day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Some of you may be growing tired of our professing of faith, but I believe that it's very important to remind each and every day or from time to time what we believe and what we stand when it comes to God and to Bible. In a minute, we will talk about the topic for today, but in the meantime, I would like to clarify a few things. Not all the sickness, illness is created equal. Many times as well, you know, myself or anybody else here, when dealing with problems, with health, with suffering in our lives, we think, okay, why God brought this illness in my life? What's the reason for suffering? This week we have studied the book of Job, and we try to make sense of human suffering, why it's happening. And sometimes we may get a clear answer, why does it happen? But sometimes we do need to wait for God to tell us, why does it happen in our lives? Or sometimes the answer may not come until we're going to get into presence of God, when he's going to come and take us home. And yet sometimes we suffer the results from our own doing. It's the result of our choices. What I'm trying to say is that we cannot stand on the side of, like, Job's friends and judge, oh, this person is sick because they did this and this and this and that. We cannot judge. We are not called to be judged. And we should not be in a hurry to declare that all sickness is a result of sin. And that, you know, we get punished for what we did. Our human perspective is very limited. We don't know. We see that much and no more, but God sees everything. Only God knows behind the reason behind our suffering, why we go through troubles and problems. All we need to do is just to do what Job did, trust in God each and every moment and accept whatever is coming from his hand to allow it for our own good and growth. Just briefly touching, the Bible gives few reasons behind human sufferings. I may not be able to touch all of them at this time, but I would like to touch few of them at this moment. Here are a few examples. Take Job's case for an example. What was the reason behind his illness? It certainly was not because he had sinned, because God says there is, you know, in Job 1:8 and Job 2:3 says, there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. That's what God said about Job. So we cannot say that his illness, his suffering came because he was a sinner, like his friends tried to imply. He suffered a lot. And what was the reason behind his suffering? We don't have another reason revealed other than that the great controversy theme. There is a good and evil in this world. Sin allows evil to enter in this world, and we are suffering the consequences. And we should be, our faith should be a testimony, our suffering should be a testimony of our faith in God. Another example I would like to bring before you, it's that of the blind man who was born blind. And here in John 9, 2 and 3, disciples come before the Lord and says, you know, they are through their rising, you know, upbringing. And they said, who did sin, this man or his parents? That was at that time considered to be the cause for the illness. And what's Jesus' answer? It says, neither this man nor his parents sin, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. So God reveals his work in us when we go through suffering. And the last example I want to bring before us is that of Paul, or Saul, at that time. In Acts 9, 1 to 18, it talks about his encounter with God. When he was on the road to Damascus trying to persecute the Christian, there is a light coming and he is struck with blindness, an illness. Why did God struck him? Just to get his attention. Sometimes God can bring illnesses in our lives just to get our attention. Okay, be careful. Where are you going? Where are you stepping? As we have seen so far, this illness, it's not always caused by sin. But at the same time, we should not discard the fact that we do not listen. And what sin is, just when you trespass the laws of God. If we don't respect God's laws, we commit sin. And we should know that when we, our sins have a result. And many times, you know, even though not always the sickness is a result of the sin, but many times the sin can bring illness in our lives. And the Bible has more more story that can I can count to illustrate this fact. Just to mention a few, the plagues in Egypt, they were brought into them, they were suffering from all the boils and everything because they didn't listen to God. Also, Miriam, Moses' sister, she was touched with leprosy because she was she sinned against her brother. And not to mention the serpents that were in the desert and the Israelites encounter, God brought them in just a punishment because they didn't obey God. So we do, sin has consequences, and we should not discard this. The Bible, it's clear that our choices will influence our health along with our spiritual life, too good or too bad. We have studied so far the Exodus 15:26, and it says, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptian, for I am the Lord who heals you. This is clear, you know, if we keep God's commandments, if we respect his laws, he's in his turn, he's going to protect us from the illness. And another principle that I will bring before you, it's many of us, we experience it, and probably it's mentioned on the scripture reading for today, it's find we reap what we sow. And these are the Bible texts that kind of support this this principle. If you, we don't have time to go through all of them, but you can read them on your own, study them on your own when you get home. Now, the Bible, it's clear. Sometimes, and many times, if we don't listen to what God is telling us, the illness is the result. The science today came around and recognized that the lifestyle, the way we live, has an influence on health. They actually very cleverly named these diseases lifestyle diseases. So, during this presentation, I will introduce few new concepts for you, just what we're talking about. And just, I would like to, I'm not the queen of definition, so I'm not a person that can say with authority, you know, that's what it is. So I use Google to kind of get the definition in place. First, we're going to talk about health. What is health? According with Merriam-Webster dictionary, says the health is the condition of being sound in body, mind, or spirit, especially freedom from physical disease or pain. Synonyms to health are vigor, vitality, strength, fitness, stamina. Another definition which I find it interesting is the one given by World Health Organization. And they said health is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. Do you see how this definition goes a little bit more further and tell you, okay, being healthy doesn't mean that you don't have any diseases in your body. You're just sound mind, body, and soul, they are okay. It's just, health, it's much more than that. And you know, when we talk about health, and probably, I don't think there is anybody here who didn't, he was not sick at one time in their life. And when you're sick, you know that you don't feel well. And it's not affects you, you're not the most social person when you're sick. You're not up to company. And, you know, if your head is hurting, you don't feel like doing anything with the rest of the body. So in the same way, we have to know that each part of our being, the physical, mental, and social, are all connected, and they all play a role in us being healthy. God's servant says this about health. Health is a great treasure. It is the richest possession mortal can have. Wealth, honor, or learning, it's dearly purchased if it to be at the loss of vigor of health. None of these attainments can secure happiness if health is wanting. It is a terrible sin to abuse the health that God has given us, For every abuse of health enfeebles us for life and makes us losers. What a powerful statement here. The health, it does affect every aspect of our life. And it's not only for a moment, but for the rest of our life. I do venture to say that health is very important. And sometimes we don't even realize how important health is until we become sick. And that's sad. That's sad, I may say. We need to understand that our human body is indeed a wonder of God's creation. But at the same time, when the sin entered the world, we are subject to pain, disease, and even death. The other word we were going to be talking, it's lifestyle. And what is the lifestyle? How do we define this concept? The best one I find, there is a lot of definitions out there. The best one I found is Business Dictionary. And it says that lifestyle, it's a way of living of individuals, families, and societies, which they manifest in coping with their physical, psychological, social, economical environments on a day-to-day basis. Lifestyle is expressed in both work and leisure behavior patterns, and on an individual basis in activities, interests, options, values, and allocation of income. It also reflects people's self-image and self-concept, the way they see themselves and believe they are seen by others. Lifestyle is a composite of motivations, needs, wants, and is influenced by factors such as culture, family, reference group, and social class. Now, it's a mouthful of definition, and there is a lot of terms that we kind of try to make sense. But in a nutshell, the lifestyle is the way we live, period. The way we are acting each and every day. And when we talk about lifestyle, we have to acknowledge two key factors. And one of the factors is the personal choices. Do you see the last part of the definition? Lifestyle, it's a composite of motivation, needs, wants, and is influenced by factors such as culture, family, reference groups, and social class. So the first part, it's our choices. And the second part, it's what's happening, the environment we live in. What we need to keep in mind is that our choices are controlled by whom? We control our choices, how we live and how we do. We control our choices. We may not control the environment we live. We many times we can try to make adjustment and make it better, but you know, if there is an earthquake happening, we don't have any control over that, or if it's a drought or anything. Our control on environment is limited, but we do have control on our choices. And that's very important to keep in mind because God gives us this power of choice. If you go back in the Garden of Eden, He created us with the power of choice. And we should never underestimate our power of choice. We choose our way of life. We choose the way who will control us, and do not let anybody tell you otherwise that you don't have any control. You do have control. As I mentioned before, there is a close relationship between lifestyle and health. Bible, spirit of prophecy, and science all come together and said there is the way we live, our habits, the environment have a great influence on health. We did see in the Bible that it affirms that we choose. And we're going to the Bible text we choose as a scripture reading today. There it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." So we get what we put in. "For that he soweth in the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in doing well, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So we reap what we sow. Ellen White, in one of her passages, says, "Health, life, and happiness are the results of obedience of physical laws governing our bodies. If our will and way are in accordance with God's will and way, if we do the pleasure of our Creator, He will keep the human organism in good condition and restore the moral, mental, and physical powers in order that He may work through us to His glory. If we cooperate with Him in this work, health and happiness, peace and usefulness are the sure result. What a powerful statement. The next step, so first we saw from the Bible that what we do has a result. Now, second one is the spirit of prophecy. And last and not the least, the science tells us that we actually have, there in this world there are lifestyle diseases. The lifestyle affects the our life. And here is one of the definitions I find for the lifestyle disease. On health side, it says lifestyle disease refers to disease that results because of choices people make in their life. They are most commonly in developed nations where people are inclined toward eating unhealthy foods, having a sedentary lifestyle, and unhealthy habits like smoking and drinking alcohol. The risk of developing this disease depends on a lot of factors, including the type of work you do, or your work environment, physical activity, and your susceptibility to stress. Other contributing factors include poor posture, kind of foods you eat, and poor sleeping habits. This definition is a straight shot. You know, it's telling us the way you live is going to influence your health. And sometimes we should be aware that what we eat, how active we are, the type of work we do, how much we sleep, how we deal with stress, if we smoke or drink alcohol, it can change my life for worse or for better. It's interesting that the science can tell us this fact straight without any, coding. But when the Bible says the same thing, we don't take it so easily. That's very interesting. Next step is for us to know what kind of problems, diseases, the lifestyle can cause. Our source, along with the other, I was looking all over the different places, and they are coming, they said the common lifestyle diseases are heart disease, cancer, Alzheimer's disease, asthma, chronic liver disease, COPD, diabetes, stroke, depression, metabolic syndrome, osteoporosis, arthritis, and obesity. Out of curiosity, there is anyone present here that has not been affected directly or indirectly by any of these diseases? If we have or know somebody who have them. Okay. Yes. Yeah, it's somebody in your family. Somebody in your family that if you have experienced them or if you know somebody in your family had them. Yeah, majority of us have this kind of, it's happening all over the place. If you turn around, wherever you go around, they are there. They are there. If it's not heart disease, it's cancer. If it's not cancer, it's diabetes. If it's not diabetes, it's depression and all other troubles that is there, that are there. And that's the fact that made that's the main reason why United States and all developing countries, along with many other countries in the world, they consider these lifestyle diseases a pandemic. Do you know what a pandemic is? Pandemic means pandemic disease is just covers the whole country or the whole world. They are not only in South Carolina. They are in whole United States, and there is in a whole developing world, these diseases are prevalent there. Another staggering information comes from when we check the first top leading causes of death in the United States. And these are, I'm sorry, can you see them? Kind of, okay. There are 10 major causes of death, leading causes of death in the United States. And the order, you see them right here, probably have not changed in years. And out of 10 causes, there is one that clearly not linked to the lifestyle. Number one killer, heart disease. If you look on the graphic there, about 167, and that was in 2014. In 2015, it's 168.5. So it increases, you know, from one year to another. The only place that the death decreased, it's about cancer. It's just a very slight change. It's from 161 to 158.5. But it's still high out there. And look, the jump that is from the heart disease to the respiratory disease, from 167 to 40. That's a great jump. But if you're looking, you know, heart disease, cancer, number two killer, cancer. Number three, it's chronic respiratory diseases. Number four, accidents. These are the only one, not a lifestyle disease, as we may say. Even though if you think about the drunk driving, that may be one of them, you know. Number five, stroke. Number six, diabetes. Number seven, Alzheimer's disease. Number eight, influenza and pneumonia. In my opinion, this is a kind of a borderline lifestyle diseases, because if you have your immune system healthy, you can overcome these diseases. But if your immune system, because of your health lifestyle, it's affected, you won't be able to do it. Kidney disease, suicide. And suicide, if you're looking at depression, that's one of the major causes for suicide. And I consider this a lifestyle cause problem. What I failed to mention before is that the lifestyle diseases have two major characteristics. And first of them, they are non-communicable. That means they don't go from one person to another. If you have heart disease, that doesn't mean your neighbor is going to catch heart disease. Or if you have cancer, the neighbor is going to catch cancer. That's one aspect. And the second one is that they are chronic. And chronic means they are lasting, they are for a long time. Chronic is defined, if it's longer than 3 months, it's a chronic problem. And another thing, another characteristic that we didn't mention is that they are, okay, I fight to say this word, but it's degenerative in nature. So instead of, once you get this disease, you don't get well from it. If you don't treat it, if you don't do anything, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And it's going to cause disability. It's going to cause a lot of high health costs. It's going to cause even death. So we do need to be very, careful how we get, when we come about this lifestyle diseases. And usually a person who has a chronic issue, health problems, it does not come cheap. It costs a lot of money. It costs a lot of, not only money, besides costing suffering, it can affect the life, the family dynamics, and also can cost a lot of money for the person and for the society. World Health Organization came with this, with these numbers. In 2005, the lifestyle diseases cost about 61% of deaths, total deaths, and about 49% of economic impact. In 2030, it's expected that lifestyle diseases can cause about 70% of deaths and 56% of economic burden. So the things, the way the things are going is not going to get any better. It seems to be getting worse and worse. Probably that is the reason why they're out there. There is a great effort to, in the healthcare field, to attempt to do as much as they can to help to control these diseases. And their effort is admirable. It's worthy of praise because there is a lot, they use a lot of evidence-based research. They use the latest medications to treat these diseases. However, there is a problem. The problem is, instead of looking at what causes these diseases, they kind of try to address the the way they manifest. You know, there are medications, they treat what symptoms you have. The interventions, if you have a heart attack, they go and open your artery in your heart, you can get blood again, but that's not lasting if you don't address the cause of the problem. I do need to give credit to the healthcare system because they do try. There is a lot, as a nurse, I'm doing a lot of education for the patient, and we have to tell about lifestyle changes. However, in one of my nursing classes, and that was a long time ago, there was an allegory they use when they describe the healthcare system. And I still remember I was looking to find that allegory, but I could not find it, so it's from my memory. The story goes like there was a beautiful town somewhere in the middle of nowhere. It was a beautiful town. Through the middle of the town, a river was going through. And not very far away, there was a beautiful place, a mountain with peaks, and usually it was a majestic trees and a nice overlook, and people from the town always go up in the nature, going on the mountain, climbing the mountain to see the nice view. And was a place, a certain place where majority of the people from the town used to go, was a very nice cliff. And on the bottom of the cliff was this river going through. And the river, from this cliff, you could see the all around, you can see the town, you can see the beautiful, pictures there, and the way the river was going. And the river was not a nice one that, you know, is just very smooth to go. It has a lot of rapids and meandering there. And the problem is that many times people fall off the cliff. And they go in the water, and the water was carrying them through the city. And in the middle of the city, you know, people were hearing people crying, help me, help me, help me. So the downtown council decided, okay, we need to do something. There is something we need to do. We cannot go seeing how the people from the town are dying. And the town council got together. They decided, okay, the best thing is we have to find a way to save these people. So we're going to train the best people to get we're going to get an ambulance system. And the first time that we're going to see somebody in the water, we're going to go and rescue them. We're going to teach them to do CPR and everything, how to swim. And we're going to get all the gadgets that we need to do for them to save the people. And they did just like that. So they had the best ambulance system. They had the best trained people. Yet the people were still dying once they were get from the water. The town council got together again and said, okay, we need to do something more. And they decided, okay, besides the ambulance system, we do need to have a hospital. So they built the biggest hospital with the latest technology, and they brought the best doctors and the best nurses. And so they saved the people from the water, they put them in a hospital, but they were still dying. So they said, there is something else we can do. And they got together and decided, okay, we do need to get some research going on here. We have to see, to investigate the causes, what's happening, why the things are going, and we have to find the best way to help these people. And so on. And the things can go like this and this and this, and they find things to address on down the river, but forget to go on the cliff. How much it costs to put a guardrail and no trespassing sound? Would be much less to do that than to buy the best ambulance to build the hospital and do the build a university. And I, in my opinion, that's the problem. The health system is addressing the end part of the problem, not the front part, which is the cause. it's better for us not to lose our health in the first place than try to get it better once we lost it. How much we spend and how much time, effort, pain, money we spend to get ourselves better. The only voice of reason comes from God. And if you remember in Galatians 6:5, what God says, do not be mocked. You know, God is not mocked. Do not deceive yourself. What you see, what you sow, that's what you're gonna reap. And another part that I didn't put when I was putting the definition for lifestyle, and it's come from a science. You know, God's telling us, don't do it. Just be careful what you sow, because you're going to reap it. But the health side says, the good news about the lifestyle disease is that the lifestyle diseases can be prevented by making simple changes in daily routine and following a healthier way of living. Few basic changes include quit smoking, avoid alcohol, having a balanced diet that includes fresh vegetables and fruits, regular physical activity, and leading a stress-free life. Now, many of the things we don't do. You know, I don't know, as Adventists, we don't smoke, we don't drink. But there is another aspect that we can do. We can make changes. Unfortunately, we as God's people, we still have this, and you are a witness, we are still have them, these illnesses, these lifestyle diseases in our midst. And Seventh-day Adventist has a very special message. God, in his wisdom and goodness, he presented to us, giving us the health message for more than about 150 years. We do have this message, you know, for about 150 years, when the physicians were still prescribing smoking as a cure for asthma, there was a voice of reason coming and saying, no, that's not the right way to treat asthma. And there, we do have a beautiful health message. But what we do with that message? How many of us know about that message? We many times put it on a back burner. It's not important because that's not, I don't know, it doesn't interest me today. And it's a shame because there are so many people outside in the world which are looking to know, trying to find out, are interested in health living. There are so many people out there. And we have this message for 150 years. And we do almost nothing with it. I don't want to sound like a judgment passed on anybody. You know, we do need to look at ourselves and see where we are. And we should allow Holy Spirit to research. We have to judge ourselves in the light of the Word of God and led by the Holy Spirit to know where we are and what we need to do. The good news, and there is a good news because our God is a God of good news. In his love and kindness, he had prepared for us a way for us to feel better and to get better. And the promise is sure. Remember Exodus 15:26, what it says, if you obey the commandments, I'm not going to bring any of the diseases on you. That God is faithful, and he will keep true to his word. Also, he gives us this inspired message. Pure air, sunlight, abstentiousness, rest, exercise, proper diet, the use of water, trust in divine power, these are the true remedies. The things of nature are God's blessing, provided to give health to body, mind, and soul. They are given to the well to keep them well, and to the sick to make them well. Nature is God's physician. The pure air, the glad sunshine, the beautiful flowers and trees, the orchards and vineyards, and outdoor exercise amid this surrounding are health-giving, the elixir of life. Nothing so tends to restore health and happiness as living amid attractive country surrounding. Life in the open air is good for body and mind. It is God's medicine for the restoration of health. These remedies are simple. How much do they cost us? How much do they cost? Not too much. Compared with the medication, with the hospital bill, these are very good. So these remedies are simple. And some people said, oh, they are too simple to be effective. But there are many people who are a testimony how well these are working. I want to leave you even with more good news. Did you ever heard about blue zones? Okay. Blue zones. It's a concept used to identify a demographic, so a group of people or a geographic area of the world where people live measurably longer lives. The concept grew out of demographic work done by Gianni Pess and Michael Plain, who identifies Sardinia's Nuoro province as the region with the highest concentration of male centenarians. As the two men zero in on the cluster of villages with the highest longevity, they drew concentric blue circles on the map and began referring to the area inside of the circle as Blue Zone. Author and Blue Zone founder Dan Butner identifies longevity spots in Okinawa in Japan, Sardinia, Italy, Nicoya, Costa Rica, Icaria, Greece, and among Seventh-day Adventists in Loma Linda, California. Here is what Dan Butner has to say about Seventh-day Adventists.
We found America's longest-lived population among the Seventh-day Adventists concentrated in and around Loma Linda, California. Adventists are conservative Methodists. They celebrate their Sabbath from sunset on Friday till sunset on Saturday, a 24-hour sanctuary in time, they call it. And they follow five little habits that convey to them extraordinary longevity, comparatively speaking. In America here, life expectancy for the average woman is 80, but for an Adventist woman, their life expectancy is 89, and the difference is even more pronounced among men, who are expected to live about 11 years longer than their American counterparts. Now, this is a study that followed about 70,000 people for 30 years, Sterling study, and I think it supremely illustrates the premise of this Blue Zone project. This is a heterogeneous community. It's white, black, Hispanic, Asian. The only thing they have in common are a set of very small lifestyle habits that they follow ritualistically for most of their lives. They take their diet directly from the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, where God talks about legumes and seeds, and on one more stanza about green plants, ostensibly missing his meat. They take this sanctuary in time very serious. For 24 hours every week, no matter how busy they are, how stressed out they are at work, where the kids need to be driven, they stop everything and they focus on their God, their social network, and then hardwired right in the religion are nature walks. And the power of this is not that it's done occasionally. The power is it's done every week for a lifetime. None of it's hard. None of it costs money. Adventists also tend to hang out with other Adventists. So if you go to an Adventist party, you don't see people swilling Jim Beam or rolling a joint. Instead, they're talking about their next nature walk, exchanging recipes, and yes, they pray. But they influence each other in profound and measurable ways. This is a culture that has yielded Ellsworth Whareham. Ellsworth Whareham is 97 years old. He's a multimillionaire. Yet when a contractor wanted $6,000 to build a privacy fence, he said, for that kind of money, I'll do it myself. So for the next 3 days, he was out shoveling cement and hauling poles around. And predictably, perhaps, on the fourth day, he ended up in the operating room. But not as the guy on the table, the guy doing open heart surgery. At 97, he still does 20 open heart surgeries every month. Ed Rawlings, 103 years old now, an active cowboy, starts his morning with the swim, and on the weekends he likes to put on the boards, throw up rooster tails. And then Marge Deton. Marge is 104. Her grandson actually lives in the Twin Cities here. She starts her day with lifting weights. She rides her bicycle. And then she gets in a root beer colored 1994 Cadillac Seville and tears down the San Bernardino Freeway, where she still volunteers for seven different organizations. I've been on 19 hardcore expeditions. I'm probably the only person you'll ever meet who rode his bicycle across the Sahara Desert without sunscreen. But I'll tell you, there was no adventure more harrowing than riding shotgun with Marge Deton. A stranger is a friend I haven't met yet, she'd say to me.
And this is a story. It is a tall measure. We have given so much, and we should live up to whatever we have. We do have a calling. And are we ready to meet up this challenge? I pray God will help us and sustain us through it all. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are coming before your throne of grace at this moment to thank you, Lord, for this message. It is an important message for us, Lord, because we suffer from many diseases we have experienced in our lives, and many of these diseases are caused by us. Please forgive us for the way we live, and help us, Lord, to make the changes that will bring us closer to you. Lord, you have provided for us everything we needed. You provide guidance, and you provide these seven remedies. Help us, Lord, to take time to study, to research these remedies and apply them in our lives. Give us strength, Lord, because we are weak. We don't have enough strength to withstand the temptations that are out there. We don't have enough strength to make the right choices. But Lord, help us to choose you each and every moment. Help us to realize each and every moment that our choices we make every minute is going to influence our lives to good or to bad. And Lord, help us to make the choices that will bring us closer to you, will make us healthier, and will make us to be a reflection of your character. And Lord, help us not to forget who we are, that we are your children, and you are always closer to us to help us. And I would like to continue my prayer using the Aaronic blessings. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen.